We've talked about the fact that God uses unexpected, he sends unexpected blessings through unexpected people. A couple days ago, I got in my car, my rear right tire was 20 pounds low. Now, it's a low profile tire, so it holds 40, but it was 20 pounds low. So I got out my compressor, filled up the tire, and I drove it all day, and I watched the pressure, and it never moved off of that point. Oh, I'm sorry. Students, please, you're going to miss the best story in the world, but you need to go to your service. Thank you, Pastor John, for reminding me once again. Hate to lose anybody from the congregation today, but we're going to send them off in good hands. Well, I watched the tire pressure all day long. It never got any lower. So I thought, well, it was just a fluke. Weather, cold weather, whatever. So then parked it. Next morning I got in the car, 20 pounds low again. So I decided it wasn't a fluke. So I got it to the station, and they called me about an hour after I dropped it off and said, I've got some bad news for you. It's not your tire. It's your rim. Your rim is cracked. Now, I know a little bit about cracked rims. I've had them before, and I also know that you can get those things welded unless it's cracked in a crucial place. So I asked him about it. He said, well, our welder's booked up. He can't do anything for weeks. So I knew a welder, so I took it over, and he couldn't see. He says, listen, I don't know when I'm going to get to it. I just have no idea, but I'll call you when it's ready. I want to tell you, within 48 hours, he had already called me. Susan went and picked it up. We got the car to the shop, and the next day I had a roadworthy car again. Now, you might consider that not a big deal, but I do. What if the rim had been so bad off that I couldn't weld it? You can't buy rims for my car anymore that match. It's an old car, and there weren't too many made, and so I'd had to buy four new rims. And although the man part of me was getting excited about that part, the economic side of me said, oh no, I hope not. So God sent an unexpected blessing from an unexpected person. And those happen all the time. You need to take note of them. You need to pay attention to them. Recount them, document them, share those stories with others, because it's going to encourage you. It's going to build your faith. But it's also going to speak to them. It's going to build their faith. This month, we've been talking about the fact that God uses unexpected people. God uses unexpected situations. God uses unexpected journeys. God uses unexpected hope. And today, we're going to talk briefly about the fact that God uses unexpected vision. Here we've got a couple of old folks we're going to read about. Likely ignored, likely dismissed, but yet on a powerful mission from God. Luke chapter 2. We're going to talk about Simeon and Anna, starting in verse 25. In Jerusalem, at that time there was a man named Simeon, a good man, a man that lived in prayerful expectancy of help for Israel. And the Holy Spirit was on him, and the Holy Spirit showed him that he would see the Messiah of God before he died. Led by the Spirit, he entered the temple, and as parents of the child Jesus brought him to carry out the rituals of the law, Simeon took him into his arms and blessed God. God, you can now release your servant. He's talking about himself. I'm ready to go. You can now release your servant. Release me in peace as you promised. With my own eyes, I've seen your salvation. It is now out in the open for everyone to see. A God-revealing light to the non-Jewish nations and the glory of your people, Israel. Jesus' father and mother were speechless with surprise at these words. Simeon went on to bless them, and he said to Mary, his mother, this child marks both the failure and the recovery of many in Israel. A figure misunderstood and contradicted, the pain of a sword thrust through you, but the rejection will force honesty as God reveals who they really are. Continues in verse 36, Anna the prophetess was also there, a daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher. She was by now a very old woman. She had been married for 7 years, but a widow for 84. She never left the temple area, worshiping night and day with her fasting and prayers. And at the very time Simeon was praying, she showed up, broke into an anthem of praise to God, and talked about the child to all who were waiting expectantly for the freeing of Jerusalem. Unexpected people used to speak prophetically to God's people and sow the vision of Jesus and his mission. Oh, how many times do we disregard the words of unexpected people? Here we have two elderly believers who met Jesus in the temple and praised God for his salvation. You know, Simeon lived in a time of great expectation among the Jewish people. They were waiting for the Messiah to liberate them from the oppression and restore Israel's glory. According to the gospel, Simeon was promised by the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't die before seeing him. This promise speaks volumes about his character and his dedication to God, suggesting that he had been living a life of anticipation and faith. He knew God was going to use him. And Anna was a prophetess, a descendant from the Jewish tribe of Asher, elderly and a widow who devoutly worshiped God with regular fasting and prayer. She was one of the first people to recognize in faith the baby Jesus as God's promised Messiah. Ordinary people called to do extraordinary things for our God. I want you to consider just how important, how encouraging, and how life-giving the words of these two unexpected people were to those in the temple that day. I want you to consider just how important and encouraging these unexpected people were to those outside the temple that day, because word got around quickly. God used these two to confirm the arrival of the promised Messiah. And it didn't stop there. It was to light the fire of conversation, of purpose, of his coming. This wasn't an ordinary baby. This was a prophetic birth. And they were heralding the prophetic birth, the significance of Jesus. These two people were used to proclaim the vision of what was ahead for the people of God. Now that word vision means the act or power of anticipating that which will or may come to be. These two unexpected people opened the eyes of God's people of what was going to transpire. What was to come. The good news of Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah. Now the Bible talks about the importance of vision. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, no revelation from God in his word, the people are restrained. Some other versions say the people will perish. But happy and blessed is he who keeps the law of God. Out of the Message version, listen. If people can't see what God's doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they're blessed. And one that's very, very popular, Habakkuk 2:2, then the Lord replied to Habakkuk. Write down the revelation, the vision. Make it plain on the tablet so that a herald may run with it. Listen to it out of the Message. Then God answered, write this, write what you see. Write it out in big block letters so it can be read on the run. Have you ever considered that what God says to you or reveals to you is not only for you, but it's for others? See, far too often we tend to get some revelation, some kind of revelation, and see how it applies to our life and then keep it for ourselves, thinking that that's what it was for. The only reason it was for was me. Now, we like to think that, and God does care for us that much, but he never gives someone something from him. He never does that without it having an eternal value. And for us to herald, to cast vision for. I want you to consider how important it is to share the revelation that God gives you with others. Last week we talked about being a light for Jesus, and this is really a part of that. Hide the light of Jesus under a bushel? Oh no! Hide the revelation of Jesus under a bushel? No! Hide the vision of Jesus under a bush? No. hide what Jesus says to us under a bushel? Oh no. So I would like to stress the fact that we have a responsibility to share what God reveals to us, to others. In fact, I actually think it's a dereliction of duty to keep things to ourselves. I really do. Our job as a Jesus follower is to declare His goodness, His love, His plan, His word, His forgiveness, His mercy, His understanding to all those He brings in our path. Remember God's interaction with Moses. Exodus 3, starting in verse 1, Moses was shepherding the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the west end of the wilderness, came to the mountain of God, Horeb. The angel of God appeared to him in flames of fire blazing out the middle of a bush. He looked. The bush was blazing away, but it didn't burn up. Moses said, "What's going on here? I can't believe this. This is amazing. Why doesn't this bush burn up?" God saw that he had stopped to look. In other words, God saw that he got his attention. And God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." He said, "Yes, I'm right here." God said, "Don't come any closer. Remove your sandals from your feet. You're standing on holy ground." Anytime God reveals something to you, there's holiness there. There really is. It is stop the presses. God is going to speak. And it's not just something important. There is something holy fixing to happen. So he says, "You're standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." Moses hid his face, afraid to look at God. And God said, "I've taken a good long look at the affliction of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries for deliverance from their slave masters. I know all about their pain, and now I have come down to help them, to pry them loose from the grip of Egypt, to get them out of that country and bring them to a good land with wide open spaces, a land lush with milk and honey, the land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. The Israelite cry for help has come to me, and I've seen for myself how cruelly they have been treated by the Egyptians. It's time for you to go back." Now, if you remember, that's where he started, was Egypt. "I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the people of Israel, out of Egypt." Moses answered God, "But why me? What makes you think I could ever go back to go to Pharaoh and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt?" God sums it up. Verse 12, "I'll be with you." That's what makes him believe. God says he'll be there with you. "And all this will be proof that I'm the one who sent you. And when you have brought the people, my people, out of Egypt, you will worship God right here at this very mountain." There is something holy happened there. And in biblical times, they usually signified this holy place with some kind of altar. Or maybe stones to remind monuments. They want to remember and be able to tell generations to come that this is what God said and this is where we heard it. Sometimes we hear things from God and we just write them off, when we should be considering that a holy moment. And it should matter enough to us that we build a monument so that we can tell other people what God has done. And when you tell other people what God has done, guess what? It shows them that our God is able to do amazing things. What if Moses kept all that to himself? What if he didn't do anything with that? "Wow, God has just told me he's going to use me." But what if he didn't do anything with it? What a mess, right? Remember with Joshua. In Joshua 1, after the death of Moses, a servant of God spoke to Joshua. Moses' assistant. "Moses, my servant is dead. Get going, cross the Jordan River, you and all the people. Cross to the country I'm giving to the people of Israel. I'm giving you every square inch of the land that you set your foot on, just as I promised Moses." It's a continuation of what he had told Moses. "From the wilderness and this Lebanon east to the great river, the Euphrates River, and all the Hittite country. And then west to the great sea. It's all yours. All your life. No one will ever be able to hold out against you. In the same way I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I won't give up on you. I won't leave you. Strength, courage. You're going to lead this people to inherit the land that I promised to give you, to give their ancestors. Give it everything you have, heart and soul, and make sure you carry out the revelation, the vision that Moses commanded you, every bit of it. Don't get off track, either left or right. So as to make sure that you get where you're going. And don't for a minute let this book of the Revelation be out of mind. Ponder and meditate on it day and night, making sure you practice everything written in it. And then you will get where you're going, then you'll succeed. Haven't I commanded you? Strength and courage. Don't be timid. Don't be discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step that you take. What if Joshua... Think about it. That is great. That's some great marching orders. But guess what? What if he kept it to himself? Well, what if Simeon and Anna had kept things to themselves? See, there's a common thread with these kinds of interactions with God, and it's a challenge to obey. What if Joseph had not obeyed? What if Mary had not obeyed? What if the shepherds had not obeyed? What if the wise men had not obeyed? Here's the question. What will we do with what God has revealed to us? Will we keep it to ourselves? Or will we use it to sow God's vision to others? See, God is a God of action. His will for us will require action from us. If he's a God of action, he's going to require action from us. He will have his way with us if we're willing to not keep it to ourselves. He will use us in extraordinary ways. See, I know what some of you think. Well, all these are heroes of the faith. I don't have anything of value to share. I'm just ordinary. Well, in case you need reminding, let me remind you who you are in Christ. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation, a special people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies, the wonderful deeds and virtues and perfections of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God has not revealed his vision to you for you to keep it. How many times have we just kept it? The Message version of that same verse is, but you're chosen, the chosen ones by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instrument to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he's made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. And although we most likely the enemy has convinced us at times that we're just ordinary, this description of who we are is far from ordinary. We've been called to carry on for Jesus. And what he does for you, he'll do for others. Sometimes we want all the favor of God on our life so we can have the favor badges all over our sash. But we're only to be a conduit. That the favor that God gives us, the vision that he has revealed to us, we're a carrier. We're to serve that. We are not only to shine because he's done it. We are to do something about it. We are to be obedient in helping others understand what God has for them. The big question today is, will you carry the vision of Jesus Christ? You say, well, I don't know what that means. Well, you just do what God asks you to do. When you do what God asks you to do, you're carrying the vision of Jesus Christ. And you are shining that onto others. You're being obedient. See, there's something that happens when we're obedient. just like with your children. Doesn't your parents, your heart swells with admiration when your children are obedient to you. Just think about God. He has given us everything we need to live this life and to reproduce what He's done inside of us. And when we say yes to God, His Father's heart, it doesn't explode, but it just gets big. When He asks us to do something, it is not to punish. It is not to restrict. It is not even to cause you to be ostracized. All those things could happen, but that's not the purpose. The purpose is for us to carry the vision of Jesus Christ. And we can be that unexpected person doing the unexpected blessings for people. And we'll acknowledge that. And we will experience the unexpected things that God has for us that we don't deserve. And you must understand that we don't deserve any of this. But it is freely given. And the challenge in the Gospels that Jesus had for the disciples is, freely you have received from me. Now I want you to freely give. Do we freely give? Maybe we have in our discipline a daily devotion time. And if you follow along our devotional that we give out here, there's usually a couple key verses that it talks about. Do you take that with you? Maybe you do it in the morning. Do you take that with you for the rest of the day? And have you ever asked God, how can I shine the vision of this truth so that others can see it? See, it's so easy for us to think, well, that verse is for me, and I got a hard day ahead of me, and that verse is just for me. Well, it may be for you, but it is not only for you. Jesus has called us to be His hands and feet. And throughout the Gospels, as Jesus was here 3-something years, He did all of this, modeled it for us. And He actually challenged the disciples. They were grieving when he was preparing them to leave for His departure. And He said, listen, I don't want this event of me leaving this earth to throw you. Don't let it trouble you. Listen, I'm going to be with you. My Father is going to be with you. And we're going to carry you through this, whether I'm here in the flesh or not. And He has left us here to do that work. To carry on what Jesus says. Will you be obedient to share with others what He's done in your life? Will you share His vision with other people? It's a big question. Or will you keep it to yourself? Well, I don't want anybody to judge me. I don't want anybody to ostracize me. I don't want to do that. But see, God is in the obedience. He gives you His word, and it's a revelation to you. Have you just read a verse one time, and it just jumps off the page, and you say, oh goodness, that is for me. Well, I want you to put a comma next time that happens. And for others. That verse is for me and others. And you don't get to define what others they are. Because there are some people you won't mind sharing this stuff to. But there are others that you don't want to. Could it be that our God wants you to share His vision with somebody that you might not even like? Or is totally different than you? Or maybe I'll put it this way. Someone that sins differently than you, are you willing to be a vision carrier of Jesus Christ everywhere you go? That verse just ministered to me so deeply today. Okay, God, where can I share that? Where can I share that? Let me be aware. Let this be your prayer. Let me be aware of who you are bringing around me And you gave me this vision, this clarity today or recently, and you want me to share it with them. And you will be absolutely astounded at what happens. Sometimes you see it immediately. Oh, wow, that is exactly what I needed. Sometimes you may see it in the fruit of their life. Sometimes you may never, ever know. But this is what I know: when you're obedient to God, it doesn't matter what the results are. They are not your business. They're His. When you're obedient to God, only thing that matters is that we're obedient. And God is going to ask you to do some tough stuff. He really will. He's going to ask you to do things that you will need Him to accomplish. In fact, He gets great pleasure when you lean upon Him. You know, so many of you are gifted in the natural, and there's so many things you can do without even leaning on God. God gets no glory from that, except from the creation of you. But when you do things that are outside of what you're able to do, first of all, pride doesn't settle in, because you know good and well you couldn't have done that without God. But also, He sees your heart to share the vision of what He's told you. I believe that God's going to bring people into your path that you are not particularly wanting to share to. And I can tell you from past experience, I would rather obey God than disobey God. Why can I say that? Because I have disobeyed God, and I am just miserable because I didn't do what He asked me to do. And my prayer is, oh God, give me another shot. I won't fail you again. But we're going to mess up at times, but when we tap into who He is, guess what? We have a strength that we just can't even figure out. There is a strength that's beyond us. The Bible says that He is our strong tower, and you are to run to Him. I bet you when the winds were up this morning, there were some people running to that inner room in their house, right? That's what we're all told to do. You run to a place of safety. Well, listen, we face storms in our lives all the time. And there are so many times that we don't run to the strong tower. We run to reason. We run to intellect. We run to maybe even past experiences, when we should be running to the strong tower. Because it's at the strong tower that He reveals things to you. When we come to Him, He shows us stuff. He reveals things to us. He gives us glimpses of His glory. And listen, when we get a glimpse of His glory, that's a holy moment. And if you want to take your shoes off and you're in a place you can do that, do it, because that'll stay in your mind that there is something holy that just happened. You can be riding in your car, hear a phrase in a song, in a worship song, and it penetrates you. You probably can't rip your shoes off at that moment, but that's a holy time. And I promise you, the next time you get in your car and you get near that intersection, you're going to remember it, because you made some kind of monument there. God met you there. But God is going to meet you where He wants to meet you. You're going to have to recognize Him, and it's coupled with obedience. God does not just meet with you to make you feel good. He does. I love His presence. And there is something about His presence. But if all I'm after is to feel good, then I'm missing most of what God wants to do. He wants to impart. Another word for vision. He's imparting vision to us. This is how you do it. This is how I'm going to get you out of this mess. This is how I'm going to carry you through that. And this is for you, comma, and for other people. We've got to think of the rest of that sentence. In fact, the Bible says that we ought to place others above us. So maybe I am thinking of someone that is in dire straits, and I go to God's Word, and instead of trying to find something that will encourage me, I look for something that I can show them who God is. And in the meantime, as we are sowing for Jesus, all of a sudden the things that are weighing on us begin to fade because He meets those needs. You think God needs you to tell Him what you need? He knows what you need before you even need it. So if we're about His business, we don't have to worry about ourselves. Does that mean you're not going to have any problems? No, you're going to continue to have problems, because if you're like me, you still need to be reminded that you need Him. Every time I hit a problem, I am reminded how much I need Him. I'd like to, after all these years serving God, to be a little more confident in what I'm doing, but when I hit things that are hard, I need to be reminded that He is my strength and my song. And He wants that for every one of us. He wants us to be the strong people because we've spent time in the room with the strong tower as He's downloaded a vision into us to carry to the world so that the world would hear. Listen, your heart should be like Jesus's, that none would perish, that all to come repentance. It's easy to want those that you love to not perish. It's harder to have that same heart for those that you don't love. And yet Jesus loves us, every one of us. Every single person born is made in the image of God. Everyone. God is a creator of life. There's no mathematical form that makes it happen. God is a creator of life. And He has made His people in His image. And therefore, we are to reflect Him. We're to take what God says is important and make that important in our own life and shine so that all those around us know that God is number one, that God is able, that God is love. You know, we're coming to the end of December, and we think about, well, we've been celebrating the birth of Jesus all month long. Listen, we should celebrate the birth of Jesus every month, every day, for what Jesus, the gift of Jesus to us. But as we continue celebrating Jesus' birth, I want you to watch for God to use unexpected people to bring unexpected blessings. I want you to watch for God to use unexpected situations to bring unexpected blessings. I want you to watch for God to use unexpected journeys to bring unexpected blessings. I want you to watch for how God would use unexpected hope to bring unexpected blessings, and how God is going to use unexpected vision to bring unexpected blessings, and for God to use us in unexpected ways to further His kingdom right here on this earth. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we